Grab your booklets out to page number 7. Keep your Bibles open. Today's will be a shorter talk, so don't fall asleep. The car rides very soon. There's a TV show in the 1990s. You may have seen it, you may not have seen it, called Gladiator. Hand up if you've seen it. Gladiator. Now, the gladiators on the TV show Gladiators, they were permanently on the show, and they were huge. Like, we're talking biceps the size of my quadriceps. They're talking these huge, big mama arms. Okay, huge, big mama arms, big legs, like rippled abs, like big, pecs type of thing. And that was just the women. The men. No, there were women on there. Storm was one of them. Flame, Vulcan, he was a guy. Delta. They were huge. They were very big guys. Imagine facing them in the battle yesterday afternoon. It would have been like, no, I'm running. I'm going to jump into the water and I'm going to drown myself. That would be the way you'd respond. There were people who'd come onto the show each week. They were the contestants. And the contestants, what they had to do was they had all these challenges where they'd come up against the gladiators and they'd have to complete these challenges. One of them was called Run the Gauntlet. We used to do this one at school. Basically, there was like an alleyway of about 5 gladiators. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. About 20 metres long. And I'm the contestant. And here I am, I've got to get through them. They've got these big sticks they're going to whack me with. Another guy's got some other thing that he's going to whack me with. And another one's got some type of Adrian type of nunchucks. I don't know what they had, I can't quite remember. And they'd have to get through. We used to do that at school. We got a little bit hurt, but it wasn't too bad. There was another one that was called Hang Tough. And in Hang Tough, it was like, you know, the Olympic ring type of things that they do in the gymnastics? There was like a whole big roof full of those, and they had to get from one side of a platform to a platform on the other side, and like by swinging, but at the same time there's a gladiator coming from the side trying to pull them off. Like, there was broken bones on that show, and it was a crazy, crazy show. But at the beginning of each of the challenges, Mike Whitney and Kimberly Joseph, the old hosts of the show, they used to say, "Gladiators, are you ready?" And they'd go, "Challengers, are you ready? Year 7 to 9, are you ready?" This week, we've spoken about the many blessings that we have in Christ. We've spoken about the fact that in Him we've been brought from death to life. We've been taken from the gutter to the penthouse. Yesterday we started to think about how we're to now live differently once we're a Christian. We're to take off the old dirty clothes and we're to put on the new clothes and live as God's holy people. God wants us to live not for ourselves, but for Him and for His glory. The question is, though, as you leave fat in just a couple of hours' time, what's going to help you to keep going? Are you ready to keep going? When you go back into the world, what is it that's going to keep you strong? What is it that's going to keep you from not just chickening out as a Christian, but from standing up as a Christian? Standing out as a Christian, being different from your friends at school, being different from the people who hang out at Erin Affair on a Friday night because they've got nothing better than do. What is it that's going to keep you going? What is it that's going to keep you going when you're tempted to just call it quits on God? I don't care about Him anymore. Because I hope that none of you do that from here. But some of you may. Statistically speaking, a lot of you may, in 5 years, no longer claim to be Christian. Definitely not going to a youth group or a church or anything like that. What's going to help you to keep going? Are you ready? We're going to look at 3 things from the passage tonight. I'm very tired. We're going to look at the 3 things in the passage this morning. You've got them there in front of you. 1, the enemy. 2, the armour. 3, the weapon. Because you get a bit of a battle scene here, a bit like in the Matrix. We had a fantastic fight scene. How good is that fight scene? I love the bit with the pole where he's like, and he runs around. It's fantastic. I do that a bit. Have you seen at youth group when the year 8 guys try to hammer me? I think I picked up Alistair a few times and I've just swung him round and there's like 10 other year 8s just like falling off the sides. I modelled that on the Matrix. But there you go. The first thing, the enemy. There's the first thing. The first thing about being ready to go out into the world, the first thing about being ready to go home this afternoon is that you know the enemy. Have a look at verse number 10. Chapter 6, verse number 10. Make sure you keep it open. To stay awake, you might want to follow with your finger. You might want to write some more notes just to make sure you keep concentrating. Shorter talk though. Verse number 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. You need to know your enemy, and our enemy is real. There is a whole spiritual realm that we can't see. Sort of like when you have a production at a theatre company. Have you ever been to the theatre? With school, maybe you've gone to Laycock Street Theatre and you've seen something there. What you can see out the front is what you can see out the front. There's a whole load of things going on backstage. There's all these people running around with little black shirts and black pants and microphones and headsets, and there's people moving props here and people moving props there. You've got to get your costume on. You've got to change back to your costume. There's all these things going on behind the scenes. In our world, we can see stuff. Like, look around. We can see trees. We can see each other. We can see lots of things. But there's stuff we can't see. There is a spiritual realm that is real. There is a spiritual realm that does exist, and Satan is real. Satan is real. Evil is real. The devil, verse 11, is scheming. That is actually happening. The devil will try to do anything to trick you. The devil loves it. Do you know what the devil loves? The devil loves it when you choose to go somewhere else instead of youth group on a Friday night. He loves it. He'd much prefer you to be at Erin Affair. It'd be a far better place for you to be for the devil. He loves it when you go to Erin Affair. He wants to trick you to thinking that that's the good life. He wants to trick you to think that's where it's all at. That's where the cool people go. He wants to trick you. He'll use lies to trick you. You need to know who your enemy is so you can be ready for his attacks. Now, there's two extreme responses when we talk about Satan and evil and devil and all that type of stuff. On the one end, lots of people, this is probably most people, they'd say, doesn't exist. Fairy tale. No such thing. It's just all, it's a bit of a joke. And you can see that, like, by the little red devils with the horns and the curly tails and the pitchfork and the type of grin that they've got. People, it's just a joke. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing as the devil. Just get on with life and have fun. So there's the one extreme. You can say he doesn't exist. The other extreme is you can actually make too much of the devil. You can make too much of Satan. There's some churches who become so preoccupied with Satan and they think that he's got more power than he actually has. They forget that on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's already defeated him. Jesus has already conquered Satan. Satan has been stripped of his power. So don't go with the world's view that he doesn't exist. But don't get too preoccupied and think that he should be all-consuming as well. We need to know our enemy. We need to know that he does exist. We need to know that while ever we're still on this earth, while ever we're waiting for Jesus to return, he'll still be doing evil. He'll be still tricking people by lies. But we can know that when we look back to the cross, when we look to when Jesus died, he's defeated Satan, he's defeated sin, he's defeated death. Yet, we can look forward to when Jesus returns and we will all see that Satan will be smashed down, it'll be smackdown time. It's already happened, but that's when we'll see it. That's when it will be complete and he'll be thrown into hell forever. Now, when we were planning for FAT for this year as leaders, we were a little bit cautious. We thought, okay, 120 plus teenagers, 120 plus pool noodles, 120 plus hits per second. We could be having 120 plus times 60. So every minute, we worked out that it could have been quite crazy. We worked out, okay, we're going to try it. If it doesn't work, we'll confiscate them. Okay, well, that was the plan. If it was going to get out of hand, they were going to be gone within an hour of them being given out, if it was going to be out of hand. But can I say that I've been impressed. People have played by the rules, don't you think? Has anyone actually cried? I haven't seen anyone cry from being hit by a pool noodle. Zach's cried. Sorry, Zach. If we've had people cry, there's not been many, okay? I don't think we've had any major injuries, is that right, from a pool noodle? Sorry, Roger, for the leg. Oh, someone got a sore eye. Is he all right?
Yeah,
he's fine. So we really didn't get any injuries. All of the leaders, we've been pretty impressed. You've played by the rules. When you've been killed, you've taken it. You've known it's a game. Our enemy, he doesn't play by the rules. Our enemy isn't someone who's just part of a game either. We need to be on our guard. We need to know who our enemy is. And we need to put on the armour. The armour that we put on is not just any armour. It's not some weird looking horn things that Daniel Godden had on his head yesterday. Or some weird ball thing that Jackson whirls around his head. The armour that we put on is actually the armour of God. It's God's armour. It belongs to Him. It's the armour that He gives to us. Have a look at the things in there in verse 14. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Verse 15, with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Verse 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. That looks like Renee with her shield. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All of those things in there, verse 14, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, verse 15, the feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. 16, shield of faith. 17, helmet of salvation. And sword of the Spirit. All of those words, truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, spirit, they're all to do with the gospel. They're all to do with the gospel. So what is the armour that God gives to His people for the battle? The armour that God gives to His people for the battle is actually the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're equipped with. If you're a Christian, the stuff that you've got on as your armour from God is the gospel. Now, what's the gospel? What's another way of saying gospel? Good news. The gospel is the good news of Jesus. The fact that we who were dead men walking have been made alive by the death and resurrection of Jesus, and we can now be alive men walking. The fact that we who once weren't a people, we who once were far away and Gentiles outside of the promises of God, we've been brought near both to each other and to God through the blood of Jesus. The gospel, the good news about Jesus, is the armour of God. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to put the armour of God on with me. So we'll start with the first one there. What's the first one? Belt. So we've got our belt of truth. So put on your belt. Oh, wait. Don't say truth. We won't say truth. We won't say those. We'll say gospel. Okay? So put on your belt. Gospel. My gospel belt. Put on your breastplate. Breastplate. My gospel breastplate. We put on our gospel feet. Readied. Ha, ha, ha. We put on our gospel shield. And what's the last one there? Oh, wait, there's two more. Where is it? We've got the helmet. We put our helmet on. Gospel. And our sword, which is the gospel. And give me a gospel. Fantastic. Don't let Satan trick you. Don't let Satan trick you. Put on the armor of God. Put on the gospel. Because he's going to try to make you think that the gospel doesn't work. He's going to put doubts in your mind. He's going to put doubts in your mind as to whether God actually loves you or not. There's nothing more that Satan loves than to see people who claim to be Christian have doubts. Think, God doesn't love me. He can't love me. Satan loves that. He uses that. But we know that God does love us, don't we? We know that God loves us. Therefore, as those who have the gospel of Jesus on as our armour, preach to yourself daily the gospel. Satan's going to try to trick you daily. Therefore, what should you do daily? Preach to yourself. Preach to yourself. Remind yourself daily of who he is and what he's done. Reflect often on Jesus' death and his resurrection for you. Reflect often on what you were before you became a Christian and what you can now be now that you are a Christian. that in Jesus, remember the first talk? You've got it all. You don't need anything else. Finally, I want to reflect on one piece of our armour. This isn't just any piece of armour. This isn't just any piece of weaponry. This isn't something that Jackson was twirling around or Adrian was nunchucking around. This is the weapon of all weapons. You've heard of weapons of mass destruction. They've never been found. I've found it. This is the weapon of mass destruction. This is the weapon that is huge. This is a big mama of a weapon. I'll tell you what's amazing about this weapon. Look at verse 17. This weapon is the sword of the Spirit. It's on your t-shirts. What's the sword of the Spirit? God's Word. It's the Word of God. This is the weapon. This is the weapon. Just quickly, keep your finger in Ephesians. Turn over to Hebrews. Turn over to Hebrews. This is our first Bible flick. I don't think we've done enough. There you go. Hebrews, just after Titus. Titus is all the T's. Goes 1 Thess, 2 Thess, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, is it? Yeah, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, if you haven't got it, just listen up very carefully. It's talking about God's Word and what it is. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's Word is living and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It cuts both ways. This is a sword that brings both salvation, in that people put their trust in Jesus when they hear the Word of God, and it also brings judgment when people reject the Word of God. And it brings judgment upon Satan when he sees that it is true, that the gospel is... He knows it's true. He's trying to trick you. But this is how we defeat him. Back to Ephesians. The Bible is our best weapon for defence. The Bible is our best weapon for attack. It's a sword, and it's a mighty one. Now, there's a song I think we still do sing at church in our Sunday schools. You may have sung when you're in Sunday school. You can sing along with me if you'd like. The best book to read is the Bible. The best book to read is the Bible. You can read it every day. It will help you on your way. Oh, the best book to read is the Bible. We can sing that over lunch a bit more later on. Can I urge you, that song is fantastic. Can I urge you to read your Bible every single day? We do quiet times on camp for the main reason of trying to encourage you to see how easy it is just to spend a couple of minutes at the start of the day reading a few verses. You don't even have to spend half an hour. You might just read a few verses at a time. But can I encourage you to read the Bible? Know the Bible. Because it's in the Bible that God, the creator of the universe, speaks to us. Listen up, lap it up, and love and cherish it. Because the Bible will remind us daily about how good God is, about how much he loves us, about Jesus and his death for us, about Jesus and his defeat of Satan, about Jesus and how that those in him are not condemned. Because there's a time coming that the Bible tells us when there'll be an end to suffering. So when it's hard in this life, when you're struggling, read the Bible. Read Revelation 21. It's a picture of the end. When there'll be no suffering, there'll be no tears, there'll be no crying, there'll be no mourning, there'll be no pain. All those things will have passed away and we will be God's people with God forever, praising him, delighting in him. When the enemy casts doubt in your mind whether God is real, read the Bible and know that he is. If your friends stop coming to youth group, keep reading the Bible. Remind them of the Bible. Pull out your sword. Do not be tricked by lies. Memorize the Bible. So then when you're tempted to do things, tempted to doubt God, you'll remember the promises he's made. Finally, last thing for the week. 1 minute to go. Verse 14, this passage says that we are to stand firm. We have to stand firm by knowing the enemy, by knowing he's real, knowing he's a liar, knowing that Jesus has defeated him. We're to stand firm by knowing the gospel and putting it on as the armour that God has given us. And we're to stand firm by knowing the weapon that he has given us, the Bible, knowing it, knowing the sword of God. Now, if you've watched any war movies, I don't know if you have before, but you may have noticed that the ones who stand together, they're the ones who are best able to stand firm. Gladiator, you may not have seen it yet, but Russell Crowe, early on in the lion type of pit, he gets all the guys together and they actually win. They look like they're against the odds and they actually win. They stand together. Troy, have you seen the movie Troy? When Achilles and, is it the whatever the other country are. Yeah, what are they? The Greeks, whatever they are. When they first hit the beach, here's Troy with about 20 of his guys. What do? They stay together and they defeat the enemy. No worries. As Christians, we are to be tight-knit like that. We are to be those who stand firm together. I'm going to close with an illustration. You've heard this one before if you come to youth group, because I use it often and I want to keep using it. Adrian Haynes, as lots of you know, he's got a cousin who's in the SAS. And his cousin in the SAS, when they go training, what actually happens is, there's a unit, let's say there's 20 of them. Do you know what the SAS is? It's like the elite of the elite of the Australian Armed Services. What they do when they go training is they have to work together as a unit. So if there's one guy who's struggling, do you know what they do? They put him out the front because they know that if he falls down, all of them will be punished. Okay, so what do? They push him along. They push him along. And they push him along. And they push him along. So one day you might be the one who is doing the pushing. Okay, because you need the help. You need to help your Christian brothers and sisters. The next day, you might be the one who's getting pushed along, because you might be the one who's getting pushed along. That's the picture, I reckon, that we want to have of our youth group, of our Christian lives, is one where we stand together and stand firm as we put on the gospel. I'm going to pray. Dear God, thank you for the gospel. Thank you that it is our armour. And we thank you that we can stand firm against the enemy. Please remind us daily from your word, the Bible, that you are God, that you love us, and that we have now crossed from death to life. Please help us as we leave fat to live not for ourselves, to not let these things go in one ear and out the other, but please help us to live the new life. Please help us to get rid of the old life and live the life that you want us to live. Thank you again for Jesus. Thank you so much that he died and that he rose again so that we could live. It's in his name we pray. Amen.